This is WSKG News. A decision could come this week that would have a big effect on New York's solar industry. As WSKG's Gabe Altieri explains, advocates for small solar producers worry they'll be left behind.
Oh, you know, we've saved 18,200 pounds of CO2.
Meredith Cohn-Bocek has had solar panels on her house for about 5 years. She seems to be the only one in her small Tioga County neighborhood who has them.
I'm not aware of anyone else in the terrace that has solar.
Bocek likes that it's a greener energy, but she really likes the effect on her wallet.
Today, I finally looked at my electric bill to see how I was doing. The credits that you build up during the summer were able to pay for all my electricity in the winter, so I have not paid an electric bill except for the $15 surcharge.
Bocek gets a cheap electric bill because of what's called net metering. The excess energy she collects from her solar panels is sold back to a utility company. That company then credits her for that energy.
I believe in net metering because that's what makes this possible, basically.
But New York could move away from net metering. New York's Public Service Commission, which regulates utilities, may move to stop the process at its meeting on Thursday. Gary Radloff is an expert in energy policy at the University of Wisconsin. He says a lot of states are considering this change.
It was too successful in some states where you started to see a lot of individual homeowners and businesses installing solar PV panels on their roof. And then it became kind of a market competition issue for utilities.
Essentially, the credit the utility gives to the person with solar panels is sometimes worth more than the money the utility can get for the energy it's purchased. So we've reached a tipping point. Solar panels have multiplied, and that's driven the price of solar power down. But utility companies are still giving out credits on energy bills. Stephen Wemple works for Con Edison, a utility company. He says net metered customers like Bocek are no longer paying their share thanks to the benefit of solar. That hurts other customers, he says.
So non-participating customers see their bill go up a little bit because the net metered customers are not paying a proportionate share of the cost of our infrastructure.
And New York needs utilities like Con Ed to buy and sell solar power. The state has a goal to get half of its energy from renewables by 2030. Smaller projects are great, but Wemple says hitting that energy goal means thinking big.
More large-scale wind and solar farms that might be 30 megawatts, 50 megawatts, 100 megawatt projects that are more large in scale and also more cost-effective.
Solar advocate Adam Flint worries about this path. He thinks if the state favors large-scale solar projects, the little guy will get left behind.
You have people who can get access to solar and people who can't. And people who get access to solar are people who get access to most things, middle and upper income people who have decent credit and property.
And then long term, the jobs and health benefits of the solar industry will go to the haves rather than the have-nots. So how can the Public Service Commission reach large-scale energy goals and allow any New Yorker access to solar? Radloff, the solar policy expert, says the commission needs to remember its job is to serve the public good. But agreeing on what is the public good can be difficult.
That always depends on where you sit. You know, if you're a solar advocate, if you're a large solar company, if you're a large utility, you all have a somewhat different perspective on what is that public good.
And solar advocate Flint says if the decision sets small solar back, his group will look for other avenues to ensure people can still afford solar at a smaller scale in their communities. Gabe Altieri, WSKG News.